Acts 1:14, please, is our text today. Acts 1:14. I'd like us to think of this verse and a theme associated with it that I feel is appropriate at the outset of the year before we go back in the will of God to our studies in the book of Ruth. Acts 1:14, it says, "These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women, and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren." I want to speak to you for a few minutes this morning on the vital subject of the prayer meeting. As you're aware, in this church, we have a prayer meeting. We think particularly of the main weekly prayer meeting, and we thank God for that. We thank God for a church that believes in the prayer meeting and in the place of prayer. Our brother Wagner, when he spoke at the Minister's Week of Prayer on Thursday afternoon, and we did have a blessed time, a very refreshing time, the power of God rested upon the week in a very definite way. He emphasized a little of the distinctives of our denomination, the things that causes us to stand apart from many other denominations. And he emphasized to us that one of the things that stood out for him when he first joined this denomination and when he first became associated with it, and he told us when that happened, way back in March of 1983 in Newtown Square, Pennsylvania, Philadelphia, the same congregation that Dr. Pollock will be going to in the will of the Lord in a few months' time. It now meets in Malvern, a different part of the city of Philadelphia. In those days it was a new town square. The Reverend John Greer was being installed that night. He had heard of the meeting and he went along. It was a wet night. He said that he was late arriving, and as in his rush to get to the door of, well, they were meeting in a house in those days, and he had to go in through the back door, and he stepped in a puddle and he was soaked as a result of it. And he came into the meeting late, not feeling very good. But he said the thing that stood out for him as he came into the house of God that night, or to the gathering, "These people know how to pray." So that for him has been one of the greatest distinctives of the Free Presbyterian Church over the years. In this church, we have a prayer meeting. That's one of the things that sets us apart from several other denominations. Every Thursday night at 8 o'clock is our midweek prayer meeting. We have other seasons of prayer. I emphasize them to you, particularly before the services of the church on the Sabbath day. The book of Acts, if you turn over a page or two to chapter 3, and you look there at the very first verse, it says, "Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour." So I want you to see clearly, men and women, that the New Testament church had an hour for prayer. They had an hour for the prayer meeting, for God's people to gather collectively to seek the face of God. It was the ninth hour. That equates to 3 o'clock in the afternoon, as far as our time is concerned. And keep in mind that is approximately the time of the day that our Savior died for our sins upon the cross of Calvary. The hour of prayer. Can I ask you, men and women, to think during last year, when the hour of prayer came around on a Thursday night, where were you? How often were you at the prayer meeting? How great an effort did you make to be present? I want to say to you, as a church, and I've emphasized that by the illustration that I've given of what the Reverend Wagner told us, as a church, we put great emphasis. I couldn't underline that enough for you today. We put great stress upon the prayer meeting of the church. I have absolutely no hesitation in saying to you this morning that it is the most important meeting of the week. But as it is in most churches, it's generally the meeting that's the least attended, has the poorest attendance of all the services held in the church. There is no other meeting, men and women. You be in no doubt of that. That needs to be seen again. You need a fresh focus on it. It needs to be refreshed in your mind. There is no other meeting held in this church this week that is more important than the prayer meeting of the church. And I want to urge you on this Sabbath morning, near the beginning of a new year, I want to urge you to come. You be in attendance. I want to urge you, God's people, don't neglect, for whatever reason it might be, don't you neglect attending the prayer meetings that are held here from week to week. I want to encourage you all to arrange your week and to arrange your diary and to arrange your schedule so that that night might be free. Sometimes that takes a wee bit of work, a wee bit of effort, a wee bit of discipline, a wee bit of rearranging, maybe even a wee bit of sacrifice to arrange your diary so that you can be here. I know that you may not be able to come every week. There are other demands. I have a home and a family to run as well. I appreciate the demands, the responsibilities, the obligations that fall upon you from week to week. I know there will be other things that will cry out for your attention. But I want to urge you, God's people, you come when you can. You be at the prayer meeting this year as often as is physically possible. I know as well that not all the family may be able to come, particularly thinking of those families that have little children, young children in the family. Someone has to stay at home to care for them and to prepare them for bed and so on. But I want to say this to you. Take this on your heart this morning, brethren and sisters. You see to it that at least every member or at least every family of this church is represented in the prayer meeting when it meets from week to week. You send at least one representative. If husband and wife can't come together, and that's the most desirable thing, and bring the children with you as they get older too. But if it's not possible for all the family to be there, make sure at least someone comes to represent your family. So I urge you, come to the prayer meetings of the church. You ask me this morning, why should I come? Why should I make the effort? Why should I take the time? Why should you sacrifice a whole evening? And I know there's a lot of demands. Time is precious. Why should you sacrifice a whole evening to come every week to the house of God on prayer meeting night? What good reasons can you give for that? Well, that's what I want to do this morning. That's the question I want to answer. I want to give you some vital answers to that question. Reasons for coming to the prayer meeting. Can I mention to you, first of all, the matter of example, brethren and sisters? Example. And as I talk about example, it is the example of the early church in particular that we're thinking about. Did you know that in the book of Acts of the Apostles, there's at least six prayer meetings that are recorded? I would encourage you to look for those six prayer meetings. Read through the book of Acts in the next week or two. Look for those six prayer meetings. Study them carefully. What that tells us, men and women, you think of six prayer meetings recorded in 28 chapters. That emphasizes for us that there was great emphasis placed upon the prayer meeting in the early church. And that's how it should be, men and women. For every church that is in earnest, every church that is serious about doing a work for God, there needs to be great emphasis placed upon the place of prayer. Particularly, we're thinking this morning of collective, united prayer. So here is one of those prayer meetings. We've read about it together. In fact, this is the first of the six prayer meetings recorded in the book of Acts. You know, it's very interesting. Can I take the time to point it out and ask you to note it? The book of Acts begins in the prayer meeting. Don't overlook that. What that tells us, men and women, is that every great work for God begins in the place of prayer. You want to do a work for God? Come to the prayer meeting. You want this church to do a work for God? You want this church to move this city, this community? You want this church this year to be used for us as a body of God's people, to be used to bring others to Christ? Can I tell you, men and women, where that work will start? It'll start in the prayer meeting. As God's people gather, as they did here in Acts, as God's people gather to pray. Can I stress, men and women, it's no accident that those six prayer meetings are recorded. No accident. One of the things that it says to us is, these prayer meetings are an example. God has recorded them. God has put them into the record as an example for us to follow, as an example for us to learn from. Can I say to you, I'd like you to know, to understand, that God doesn't always teach by commandment. It's good to be aware of that. There's not a command in the Bible for every aspect of the will of God. Sometimes what the Lord does is he teaches by example. And what you have here in this passage that is before us, you have the example of the early church that you should attend. You should be at the prayer meetings of the church. Can I ask you to think of Mary, the mother of the Savior? Did you notice what it said in our text, verse 14, with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus? I want you to know, men and women, that's the last mention of Mary in the New Testament. The last time you ever read anything about the mother of our Savior and the Word of God. And where's the last place you read about her? She was at the prayer meeting. And I want you to see that. I don't want you to pass over it hastily today. I say that particularly to the ladies this morning. Ladies, here's an example for you. One of the most prominent women in all of the Word of God, our sister, the Blessed Virgin Mary. And she is the Blessed Virgin, being no doubt of that. And where's the last place you read about her? She's at the prayer meeting. And I encourage you to follow that example. You think of Paul. He said, "Be ye followers of me, even as I am of Christ." Paul's saying, "Follow my life. Use me as an example. Use me, use my life as a pattern." And if you do that, if you use Paul's life as a pattern, it'll lead you to the prayer meeting too. Think of Acts 16, what you read about the church at Philippi, the founding of that church, the bringing of the gospel into this great continent of Europe. And on two occasions in Acts 16, Paul went to the prayer meeting. Remember, it says that by the riverside, where prayer was wont to be made, and then there was a damsel that was converted as we went to prayer. So it's clear. Paul was a faithful, regular, conscientious attender of the prayer meeting. And brethren, I say to the men, I've given the ladies an example. I say to the men this morning, if you follow Paul in his footsteps, you'll come to the prayer meeting of the church as well. The scriptures tell us, whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning. When you read of these prayer meetings, here's what God wants you to learn, brethren and sisters. He wants you to learn this is his will for your life. This is his way for the advancement and the blessing of the church. And I want you to know, men and women, it is clear. If God sets this out as a pattern for us to follow, it's clear you're not doing the will of God fully. However you want to explain it away, however you want to excuse it, you're not doing the will of God fully for your life if you don't come when the church assembles for prayer. We have thought of the example of the early church. Well, can I ask you, what is your own example today? What is your example like in general as a Christian? What sort of example are you setting For other church members, we're thinking especially of the prayer meeting. I do want you to think of your life as a whole, but I want you to focus particularly on the prayer meeting. What sort of example are you setting for other church members, for your friends, other members of your family, for your children, the young people of the church? Remember what Paul wrote to Timothy? Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers. Isn't it a solemn thought, men and women? Your life is an example for others. Can I say that that's especially true for those that hold office in the church, those that are leaders in the work of God in any congregation? Keep in mind that those words to Timothy are recorded in what are called the pastoral epistles, that they are directed particularly for those who are responsible for the oversight of the work of God as a whole, or the oversight of a particular aspect of God's work. So I want you especially to think of what example you're setting to the congregation by the interest that you show in the prayer meetings of the church. You know, when you get into office, there is a tendency to slack off a wee bit. I'm here now. I've got the vote. I've got the support of the congregation. The congregation has seen you faithful enough to put you into office. But you know, when you get into office, and it applies, remember we said to both the man and his wife, we showed that clearly in the lead up to the election. When you get into office, the challenge that you face is this: to show yourself worthy, faithful of the responsibility that the congregation has given to you. There's actually a greater responsibility on you now than there was before. Be thou an example of the believers. And remember, if the congregation followed your example, just think of that. And that's really what you do need to think about. If the congregation followed your example, would it lead them to the prayer meeting? Would it bring them regularly to the house of God here on a Thursday night or any of the other prayer meetings of the church? Remember the story of the youth leader in a certain congregation who urged a young fella, you need to come to the prayer meeting. And that was good advice to give to him. But the thing that shocked and discouraged that young fella was 3 nights in a row he came to the prayer meeting. And the man that told him he should be there was never there himself. You see the power of a good example, men and women. We've had the snow this week. Think of that story of the boy that followed his dad down the street one night. The father slipped out quietly to go to the public house. And just as he went to turn in the door, it was a snowy night, just like what we've had this week. Just as he was about to turn into the door of the public house, he saw his son. It shocked him. There he was, coming down the street behind him. And you know what the lad was doing? I'm sure you have seen it over the years. The young fellow was watching every place his father had stood, every footprint his father had made in the snow, and he was hopping from one. You know, his stride just wasn't as long. His gait as he walked wasn't just as great as his dad's. So he had to hop, jump between the footsteps. And it horrified his father. My boy, following in my very footsteps to the public house. You think of that, men and women. If your children followed your footsteps, where would it lead them? Would it bring them to the house of God, to the prayer meetings of the church? So I ask you, think of your example. And think of this, men and women. Is it your example that keeps others at home? Do you know how people think? So-and-so doesn't go. I went a night or two and they never were there. So-and-so doesn't see the need to go to the prayer meeting. So therefore, I don't think I should go either. I don't need to go. It's not really that important. You never forget, men and women. The way that you show, and people can make all sorts of excuses, all things that sound so sweet and so nice and so legitimate. And remember, every excuse you make, one day you'll answer to God for it. You can be everywhere else. No matter what the weather is, no matter what's happening, no matter about everything. If you can be everywhere else except for the prayer meeting, there's something not right. No matter what you claim or what you want to say about yourself, if you can't get to the prayer meeting, remember, it's clearly God's will. He set that out by his example. You're not fulfilling all the will of God if you don't come to the prayer meeting of the church. You show how important that is in your life, how important it is in your home. You're showing to everybody else how important it is in the life of the church by your attendance, by the example that you set to others. So come to the prayer meeting, men and women, because of your example. You think as well of fellowship. And this is very important, but I'll seek to do it a wee bit quicker. Fellowship, you look at verse 13. I'll not take time to read down through it again, but there's a number of names that are mentioned there, many believers who are spoken of. And I want you to see, men and women, that there are many believers there, and they were there to encourage one another. Verse 13 emphasizes this important truth. The prayer meeting is the place of fellowship. The prayer meeting is the place where we join together to encourage and to pray for one another as believers. The prayer meeting gives you an opportunity for further and additional fellowship. And you being no doubt today, we all need that. God has clearly taught us that in his word. You think of the question, why do we have a midweek meeting? Why do we not just have meetings on Sunday, as many churches do? Is the midweek meeting just for the over-enthusiastic in the congregation? Is it just for those that don't have so much to do, so many things in their schedule? Let me impress this on your heart today, men and women. The reason why this church and others have a midweek meeting is for your benefit. It's so that you don't have to go a full week, 7 days, without collective fellowship with other believers. So I want to encourage you take advantage of that. You take advantage of the midweek meeting and come to the prayer meeting to fellowship with God's people. You turn back or turn over Acts 2 and look at verse 42 of the chapter. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship. Mark the words, they continued. It's teaching we need fellowship. The fact that they continued. We need fellowship, brethren and sisters. And we need regular. We need continual fellowship. It's not enough just to come to church every now and again, whenever the Spirit moves you, whatever the circumstances suit you. You need regular fellowship. If you're going to grow in grace, if you're going to go on with God, if your life is going to be used in the hands of God, perhaps you used to come to the prayer meeting, but you'd have to say this morning, you haven't continued. See the word steadfastly? That gives the idea they weren't going to be moved. They weren't going to be turned from that course or for that direction. You used to come, but you haven't steadfastly continued in that direction, in that path. You have allowed other people to discourage you from coming by foolish and childish and silly things, gossip, probably. You have allowed others to discourage you from coming by things that they have said. You've allowed other events to divert you. Your schedule has got fuller, more taken up with the things of this world. I want you to remember, brethren and sisters, if you don't have fellowship, do you know what will happen in your life? You'll get cold. Maybe that's happened already. Maybe that's the reason why you don't come. If you don't have regular fellowship, that's the beginning of backsliding, getting away from God. You know the often used illustration, coals in the fire? Not so many coal fires, maybe nowadays, maybe you lit it in recent days with the change in the weather. Lift the coal off the fire and set it on the hearth. Separate it from all the rest, it soon gets cold. Never forget that. The same will happen in your life. The same will happen for the Christian. If you're on your own, if you don't spend time in fellowship with others, don't you think you'll be any different? You'll soon get cold too. You'll soon wander away. Is that the condition you're in this morning, brethren and sisters? Remember those words of Solomon's. Iron sharpeneth iron, so a man the countenance of his friend. I remember my father using the scythe and the hook. And he could only go so far that he'd have to stop for a little while and sharpen it again. Bring out the sharpening stone. And they had sometimes that a wheel for the job. And I want you to see, men and women, that's how it is in the Christian life. You can only go so far in the work. My father had to stop regularly. We used to cut the grass right down the side of the lane with a hook and the scythe and so on. But he could only go so far, and every so often he had to stop to sharpen the instruments. And you need to do the same in the Christian life. Maybe that's what's wrong. You don't stop. You just try to keep going. That's not what the Lord intended. The Lord wants you to come aside for times of fellowship. And those times of fellowship, brethren and sisters, that they're like iron sharpening iron. What happens in life with all the battles, with all the struggles, with all the storms of life that we have to face? Our life and our testimony is blunted, just like the hook and the scythe. And you need to stop to sharpen it. Iron sharpeneth iron. So a man the countenance of his friend. How is your life sharpened again? The sharpness renewed, the cutting edge of your life. How does that happen? How is it put back into place? So a man the countenance of his friend. It gives a bit of sharpness to your life again by coming to God's house to fellowship the one with the other. It's vital, brethren and sisters. So I urge you to come to the prayer meeting during the week to get fellowship with God's people. The other thing is weakness. That's the other reason I'll mention to you this morning. Isn't it true? Maybe this is how you feel in the meeting today. We get weak. We get tired. We get weary. As the old saying is, we're weary in the work, but we're not weary of it. Weary in the fight, but we're not weary of the fight. We use our strength every day, that is true, especially as you're getting older and you don't have the stamina and the energy that once you did. We use our power, brethren and sisters, even in God's work, even in God's service. And where do you recharge yourself when all the energy has been used and the strength is going out? One of the most important places is in the prayer meeting. Need to come to the prayer meeting to deal with the weakness that you have. Virtually everybody has a mobile phone today. I remember the first time that I heard it said that the aim of those mobile phone companies was to give everybody a mobile phone. I thought, that'll never happen. Dear, surely they're setting their sights far too high. But everybody has a mobile phone today, from the little child up. They have them in the bush. They don't have anything else, but they have a mobile phone. And they have, on some of them, solar panels so that they can recharge the battery in the sun. Everybody's a mobile phone. You might have the best mobile phone in the country. Cost you hundreds of pounds. All sorts of apps. Can do all sorts of wonderful things. But you know something? Your mobile phone, no matter how good it is, will be absolutely useless unless from time to time you charge the battery. And it's just the same with you, men and women. I don't care today what gifts and talents you have, with what gifts and abilities God has blessed you. And that's something not to puff your chest out and be filled with pride. That's something to humble you and thank God for. But remember this, whatever gifts and talents you have, they will be absolutely no use, and you will be of absolutely no use in the work of God unless from time to time you come aside and you take time to recharge your batteries. The weakness, the tiredness, the strength that is gone. To have that strength reinvigorated once more. There's a lot of talk in the day in which we live about facelifts. Some people think they need a facelift. You know, in the church, as a believer, what should be more important to you is this: a facelift, a boost, a tonic for your soul, for your Christian life, for your walk with God. And you know where you get it, men and women? You get it in the prayer meeting. That was God's design, God's plan for that meeting. You think of the two sisters, the contrast, Martha and Mary. Why did Mary sit down there? And remember, she had been working. Mary also, that's what the word also means. She had been working, but in addition to all her labor, she sat down with Christ. She knew she needed that time with him to get her strength back to carry on the work. And that's the great mistake that many Christians make. They allow the devil to make them too busy, to keep them too busy for those times of waiting upon God. Isaiah said, it's they that wait upon the Lord. And don't you be foolish enough to think that you can do it any other way. There is no other way. There's only one way that you'll renew your strength. They that wait upon the Lord, that's God's way. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. And one of the greatest lessons we need to learn as Christians is just to wait upon God. Just to sit there in his presence. One of the greatest lessons we need to learn, discipline ourselves, to come to the prayer meeting. Why are you so weak, men and women? Why are you so weary? Why do you not have the energy, the spiritual power in your life that once you did? Well, I can tell you why. I can tell you the reason why it is in the lives of some of God's people. You don't pray as you should. You don't wait on God as you ought. You don't come to the prayer meeting as he intends. Never forget, it's a great description, a very apt description. The prayer meeting is the powerhouse of the church. Every building has a powerhouse. Well, the Church of Christ is no different. The power comes from the prayer meeting. And I urge you to come to the prayer meeting because of your weakness. That's the place, men and women, that your strength will be renewed. So here's some biblical reasons for attending, for giving priority, importance to the prayer meeting of the church. The example set by the early church, the fellowship that you need, that is so essential, the weakness that we all experience, and that's the place to have it addressed and overcome. So I trust today that you'll see the prayer meeting is vital for you, brethren and sisters. God knows what is best. His way is perfect. As for God, his way is perfect. God knows what's best for you. That's why he ordained the prayer meeting of the church. God knows what is best for the church, men and women. He knows that. And I want you to see, you have much to gain. You think you have a lot to lose that whole evening, the things you could be doing, and all the rest. But I want you to see there's much to gain, much to benefit from coming to the prayer meeting. And that's why, men and women, the devil wants to keep you away. He wants to rob you of those blessings. He wants to rob you of every blessing and every benefit that God has designed that you'll receive. And he wants to weaken the church, and that's the way to do it. Weaken the testimony of the Church of Jesus Christ. So as I close today, I encourage you, come to the prayer meeting. Be a regular attender. Let it be known in this church, so-and-so, they're a regular attender. Virtually every time I go to a prayer meeting, they're there. They're so faithful. Be a regular attender. I want to say to you, start to attend. If you've never come to the prayer meeting before, in all the years you've been a Christian, and in all the years that you've attended this church, if you've never got through the door of the prayer meeting, let 2017 be the year that you begin to be a faithful attender at the prayer meeting of all the churches. And don't forget those meetings before the church. So easy just to get into a rut. Well, we don't go. It doesn't really matter. It does matter. matters for you, matters for the meeting. Start to attend if you've never come before. And can I say to those people whose attendance has lapsed, I want you to know that you're missed. Your presence is missed. There's some people that their attendance has lapsed because of ill health. Those that are older, frailer. Some that have had infirmity. Some that are now in nursing homes. Some that have to stay at home and attend family members that can no longer be here and would want to be if they could, if their circumstances were different, and we know that. But sometimes attendance is lapsed just because of coldness and carelessness. And if that's the case, men and women, think very carefully of these things. You recommence. Do you remember what was said, or Jonathan said of David, "Thou shalt be missed, for thy seat shall be empty." Some of you, your seat has been empty. And that's been a cause of sadness for us. We're disappointed. We're saddened by that. And I want you to know that you are missed. Your seat has been empty. But I want you to resolve this year, men and women, by God's grace and power, and that's the only way we can do it, that you will recommence, that you'll be there, that your presence will be felt and will be known and be seen, and your fellowship will be experienced. We need your fellowship, just as you need our fellowship. We need your fellowship as well. So I encourage you, brethren and sisters. It says in our text today that these all continued. Is that true of you? Through all the troubles the church has been through all the difficulties, all the challenges, all the problems and trials that you have been through personally. That's really one of the lessons that comes from that word, these all continued. Think of what had just happened, men and women. The Lord had been taken from them, ascended up to heaven. Do you think that didn't discourage the early church? But it says they continued nonetheless, despite the disappointment, the discouragement of the Lord being taken from them. These all continued with one accord, the unity, how important that is. There's those that sow discord among God's people, how grieving that is. We have to deal with that from time to time, often over the years. How should it be, men and women? We should be with one accord. This church actually lost that one accord when you get over to chapter 6, the early church. And that's when the devil got a foothold. We need to be careful about that. Careful about what you do. Careful about the things that you say. These all continued with one accord. What a blessing that is. In prayer. That's where they continued. That's where the emphasis is on the verse. Prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. Remember the last mention of Mary and all the word of God. Never forget that. Where is the last place you see Mary? She's at the prayer meeting. Right to the end. That's how it should be, men and women. The women in the prayer meeting wasn't a brethren prayer meeting. I want to emphasize that. The women were there. And the women were praying. In the light of that thought, I'll tell you this story. Some of you know Martin Mays that sold the carpet. His father, I just can't recall his first name, was a missionary to South America for many years. I met him one day in the City Hotel a few years ago. We were over at the Bible exhibition that was put on, and he was overseeing it that day, and we had a very interesting conversation with him. He remembered a story. I don't know that he was actually at the meeting himself, but it happened over in Lurgan in a brethren prayer meeting many years ago. Mrs. Paisley, Senior, Dr. Paisley's mother, was at that prayer meeting. A time before she was married, she was living with a brethren family over there, Dr. Gooding and his family. And in this particular prayer meeting, there wasn't a very good spirit of prayer. There was long pauses. And Mrs. Paisley, being the woman that she was, not afraid. She prayed in the brethren prayer meeting, horrified them. A woman praying in the prayer meeting. She wasn't afraid. She prayed. Do you know the result of her praying in the prayer meeting? There wasn't another gap till the prayer meeting was over. It hastened the men to get their mouths open to pray. But that's really the emphasis, or that's the drift, men and women, of that 14th verse. They all continued with one in prayer. They were praying. Just not that they were there, they were praying. They were in prayer and supplication with the women. The word of God makes it clear. The women were there taking part as well, and I want to encourage that. And what an example. Think of the example that Luke, by inspiration of the Spirit of God, sets before us, Mary. Mary, the mother. She was a humble believer. She knew the Lord. She walked with God, and she was a faithful supporter of the early church in Jerusalem. And a faithful supporter of the prayer meeting. And all the family, says with his brethren, family at the prayer meeting. Do you see much of that today? The family. Here's our Lord's family according to the flesh. The last mention of them all. And it's in the prayer meeting. Don't miss it. The significance of it. We're going to turn to 620.